Text for our sermon this morning, our gospel reading from Luke 10, especially these words. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you, heal the sick in it, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So far, our text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus gives these 72 some very specific direction. They can't be too encouraged by it. After all, they were probably there for our reading from last week. Remember that? And Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he was rejected by the Samaritans. And then he called people to follow him. But of course, they had a myriad of excuses. Let me go first, say goodbye. Let me go first and bury my father. Let me just... Imagine these 72 are going out assuming that they'll receive a similar response. How many people would actually pay attention to them? How many people would actually listen to them? And what is, after all, their message? Kingdom of God has come near to you. That's the content of what they were to go out and talk about. What in the world is this kingdom of God? Is it some heavenly mansion coming down from on high? Is it some dwelling place of God up in the clouds? Is that thing coming down? Is it heaven itself with all of the saints who have gone before us? Is that coming down to be near to these people? What in the world is this kingdom of God? Maybe that confused the 72, or maybe they knew exactly what the kingdom of God was. Maybe they went out with a clear purpose to talk about the kingdom of God, for they knew what it was. Do you know what it is? In the Gospels, the kingdom of God refers to one thing. Jesus. Not some heavenly mansion, not some place out in the clouds. It's Jesus. It makes it personal, doesn't it? To say that Jesus has come near to you. It makes it personal. When God himself in flesh comes near, what should be the response of those who are listening? Shouldn't they clamor for Jesus? For the gifts that he brings? Jesus has come and brings pleasure eternal. We just sang it. He's the only one that brings that kind of pleasure. And yet you can imagine the reception the 72 got. Chances are there was more than once when they shook the dust off their feet against that town, those people that wouldn't receive them. Chances are they were there in the marketplace talking about the kingdom of God coming near and all that Jesus had done and was going to do. And people went about their day, buying their groceries, going home. They were to go out as lambs amid wolves, taking nothing with them because their job was immediate and important. They were just to go. If we didn't know the end of this, we might assume that they'd come back dejected. Who listened? Who paid attention? Who cared about the kingdom of God coming near? But the 72 are not dejected. They come back with joy, don't they? What's their joy in? The number of people that they were able to talk to? Number of people who came to faith in Jesus, No. That even the demons are subject to them in Jesus' name. Did that matter? Not really. Jesus reminds them what really matters, that their names are written in heaven. In this text, we see a wonderful example of the church, don't we? It's a preview of Pentecost, when Jesus will send out his apostles. That's what apostle means, sent one. And they are going to go out into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and then to the ends of the earth, proclaiming the kingdom of God and bringing the kingdom of God near to people. It's what the church does, isn't it? It's what we do. We bring the kingdom of God near to people. That's why you're here, sweating it out on this hot summer morning, because you want to be near the kingdom of God. Of course. You know that here, in this place, is where God puts his name. Here he dwells. Of course, God is everywhere. Of course. But here God dwells for you. Here he is for you in the confession and absolution of sins. Here he is for you as you drown your sins again in baptism, and he forgives them. Here he is for you as you hear his word read and proclaimed. Here he is for you in his very body and blood at this altar. That's why you come here, because here God is for you. Here the kingdom of God breaks in upon us, and Jesus, with his gracious presence, is here. What joy that should give us, knowing all that Jesus has done for us. We get to first receive him who gave his life upon the tree for all of our sins, who has washed us clean and feeds and nourishes us, who protects us from the evil one and all of those wolves out there. We rejoice in that. But you, just like the 72, have been commissioned. You've been commissioned not by Jesus, but through your baptism into Jesus. Because he has died and that death has been applied to you, you are commissioned to go out there as a lamb among wolves, to bring the kingdom of God near to those you meet. Family, friends, strangers, neighbors, everyone and anyone. And maybe you'll have to shake the dust off your feet a couple times. Maybe even the spirits will be subject to you. Maybe even people will listen to you. Maybe they'll see your example of faithfulness and hear the good news of all that Jesus has done for you and for them. And they'll believe. Maybe you'll have great success. But do not rejoice in that. Failures or the successes. Rejoice that your name is written there in heaven, that Jesus has forgiven you your sins, that the kingdom of God has come near to you day after day. Rejoice in all that Jesus has done for you. It's personal, isn't it? Not some heavenly dwelling, but Jesus. It's all about what he's done for you. We rejoice that the kingdom of God has come near to us and that we have the privilege of speaking of Christ to those around us. In his name, amen.